Good morning. Oh, yeah, this thing is on, ain't it? I'm giving them the minute there. They're having to take the hammer to the computer and do something. You guys ready? Can I move on? I got to wait. Oh, I can move on? All right, good morning, everyone. How are y'all doing? Want to welcome everyone. Nita will not be here this morning. She had had a friend that had a stroke that they're expecting not to make it. So she's left and went down, I think, the Coeur d'Alene or wherever it was at. She didn't give me a lot of details. And to be with that family because this lady may pass away. Tom and Cheryl will not be here this morning. Tom had a medical procedure, but okay, he had one of them, and I think he kind of had a rough night last night, and he's a sissy is what I call him, but anyway, they're not making it today, and I feel like I'm forgetting something. What am I forgetting? Announcement. Yeah, prayer. Let's do pray. You know, I feel like I'm forgetting something. Dear Lord, we just ask you to come in here this morning and lead this congregation as we serve and try to understand your word and the truth in your word and what you expect us to be as Christians. And we just ask for the blessings of everyone in this church and everyone outside of this church, that they will just learn and love you and allow you to love them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Now we'll do announcements. That's still got a question mark around that, so I know by next month I guess we'll have that figured out exactly how that's going to work. I'm not quite sure who's going to be doing that Bible study. I don't know if Brother John's going to want to come back and do it. I don't know if some other people want to do it. You know, maybe Brother Osborne want to do it. Maybe I'll end up doing it. And come on in and make yourself at home. Will you bribe them? Thank you. Hey. Do you know that lady over there? Yeah. Yeah, I was going to let you sit with her. Huh? Well, she got in, you know, and she was in the bed last night. So, I'm not gonna put you on the spot this morning, but these are two of my favorite people, and I'm just gonna let it go with that. You know, and I know I don't supposed to have favorite, but I do, you know. But I love everyone, you know. But they make my life better. They make my life easier. So, and other announcements. So, back on that, I don't know what's happening with that. It's kind of still out. Well, that's where we'll be next week. You know, gets very interesting there. We'll kind of be leading into that. Food and fellowship. Church council meeting on the 16th. She's not here today. But this is a really good program. It's absolutely free. You can go down there if you need some medical care or something, or a prescription filled, or and if you need a little help, if your premium's too high or your insurance, or they'll help you out if they can. And it's absolutely free. Yes, it was on there. It was in 16. No, that's the, yeah. Yeah, it was on there. It's that. You know, it's the 19th. Okay. The church council meeting's the 16th. Okay, that's worship song at this time.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance.
from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer the slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
So now we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of the service, I hope, and not the fluff. Before the Osbournes read our scriptures for us today, what's going on here really is they're basically arguing with Jesus about who he is based on their secondhand, third-hand information, and trying to convince their self and other that their second-hand and third-hand information has more authority than Christ's first-hand information. So that's really what's going on here, and that's kind of the road we're going to go down today to with these scriptures. Would you read for us, please, Mr. Osbournes, Mrs. Osbournes?
To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you are Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the work of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. Only the father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come from him, from God. I have not come to my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you're unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God.
The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? I'm not possessed by a demon, said Jesus. But I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. At this they exclaimed, now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, they said to him, and you have seen Abraham? Very truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds.
There's a lot of heavy, a lot of good stuff in there. Now, you know, there's the old rumor, us folks from the South is a little slow and we kind of move a little slower and stuff. But I don't even think that I'm that slow to not get what Jesus was saying here. You know, right off the beginning, you know, he says, if you stick to my teachings, you'll be my disciple. And you'll be free, and you'll know the truth. Right there, 8:31-33. And their answer is a third-party answer, Abraham. They're going way back on some authority, second-hand information, third-hand information that they know. And what is the proof there Jesus is really talking about, that you will know the truth? The proof is there, he's saying that you will know God Almighty. Because God Almighty is the perfect truth in this universe. That's what he's saying. You will know the truth. If you stick to my teachings, you are my disciples. And you will be free from your sinful ways, and you will know the truth. You will once again, as a man, be in harmony with my Father, the proof of all. That's the proof that you will know. And their best answer was Abraham. You know, well, Abraham, we are enslaved. No one, we're his children. No, you're not Abraham's children. You're God's children. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across to you. But you don't want to hear it. And the sin that we're talking about here, he keeps talking about sin, their sin. You know, you're a slave to sin. You know, and every man. What is the sin is he talking about in this particular situation? The sin that he's talking about is self-righteousness. Because these people are walking in self-righteousness. They're so advanced that they know so much about God from information that has been passed on to them that they know more than Christ does. And they're going to double down on that. And they're going to get down in that. And he's keep telling them. What does Christ keep telling them? I'm from the Father. The information that I'm giving you, folks, are not second-handed. This ain't hearsay that I'm telling you. I was in the kingdom of heaven with God Almighty. I witnessed everything firsthand. I was there. But they can't hear that. They cannot hear that. Because they've got in the rut of doing things a certain way. And this is the way we've done it. And we've always done it. And this one told us Abraham done it this way. And this prophet said we do it this way. That we have no open heart to God having the ability to change the future for humanity. We don't have an open heart to that anymore. It will be done this way, or it's not of God, regardless what the evidence is. Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. I am so righteous in my knowledge about God, I am closed-minded. Now, I know that you have done things in the past that we can't kind of figure out how a normal man or just a regular rabbi could do as far as all this healing folks and different stuff that you've done. But we still cannot recognize your authority. We refuse to. And I love where Jesus challenged them. He said, well, let me ask you this question. Can any of you guys prove me of sin? So if you think there's a question mark around me, and I'm not who I say I am, let's get to the meat and potatoes of the situation. Anyone here can prove that I have ever, as Jesus Christ, had one act of sin against anything or anybody. Can you do that? Well, they didn't take that challenge on. They kind of just breezed over that thing with Abraham again. Right? They just breezed over that. Because they knew that they couldn't prove him as sin. And Jesus knew they couldn't. Jesus is trying to save these folks, and they don't want to be saved. You know, the ones that wanted to be saved, that started doing his teaching and started listening to him, right? Started buying in, started understanding, started opening up their heart to him, started getting it. See, it's in our human nature. See, I today can go on the internet or go on the website and stuff, and I can gather up all kind of facts about Donald Trump. And I can just run off all kind of facts and stuff about Donald Trump. And I could put something together that sounds like I know Donald Trump. But you know what? I don't know Donald Trump. I don't know him. I know of him. And I know some facts about him. But I don't know him. I'm not going home and calling the wherever now and say, Donald, this is old Pastor Stewart down in Sandpoint. I was coming through Washington or down in Florida. I was wanting, let's have a cup of coffee together. That ain't happening. Because I don't know him. See, I know Wayne. I've known Wayne for 15 years. I've had an intimate relationship with him. I know a lot of facts about him, but I also know him. I had been there when he cried. He's been there when I cried. I had been there at 2 o'clock in the morning, so to speak. He's been there when I, at 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't have to go through no third-hand people to get to Wayne if I need him. I simply pick up the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning and say to him, Wayne, I need you, brother. This is what's going on. And give me 30 minutes. I'm there, bro. Vice versa. I had an intimate spiritual relationship with this man. This man walks in Christ with me. He doesn't just show up to church with me. He walked in Christ with me. See, I know him. And that's what Jesus is getting to these people. Y'all know facts about my father, but I'm telling you, you're not only not an Abraham, you don't have a clue who he is either. And you're sitting up here and you're lying to my father based on your secondhand information, and you don't have a clue who he is. You and you couldn't call on him, and he's not answering the phone. I am. Right there at the end. I mean, how more simple? So are you greater than Abraham? I'm telling you. Hear me, dummy. Dumb. Listen to what I'm saying here. Make it real clear for you. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, I don't know how plainer you can be that. I believe that little 1-year-old, 18-month-old boy, whatever, 16-month, he could get that. He could grasp that. How old is that child? 20 months. I was thinking 18, 20 months, you know. He can figure that out. I mean, he's smart enough to stick a donut in my mouth when I'm not looking. He did that to me. I mean, this is stuff kids should be able to grasp, right? So what is their solution? Let's stone him. You know, the man has told me time and time and time again that I am God. And my solution is, I'm going to stone you. God, I'm going to stone God. Boy, I bet you that really worked out real well, didn't it? He just disappeared on him. Said, listen, these idiots, you know, just disappeared on him.
How can you throw stones at a stone?
Right. He's the rock, right, Brother Osborne? They just bounce off, you know. But we get there today. We get comfortable in what we think we know about God, and we dig our heels in. Because it's our human nature to want to be comfortable in this world. If I can just get somewhere where I'm okay, and the pain of this world is not affecting me too much, and I can just kind of white knuckle it and hang on and not lose my mind, I want to go for that. That's not God's plan for us. God's plan is for us to constantly grow spiritually into that creature that becomes the perfect vision of humanity again, like Adam and Eve was at one time, where we can be back in fellowship with him. And that's back at the beginning is what Jesus was trying to tell them. These teachings that I'm giving you that you can't dispute. Because we talked about how they tried to dispute his teachings last week and had no ground to stand on. You will be my disciple. And you will know true freedom from the bondage of your sin. And you will know the true proof, my Father. Because me and the Father is one. And we will work in the Holy Spirit to transform you into the creature that my Father created you to be. My mother used to tell me all the time, son, you can't live in the past. There's no future in it. I can't live in what is. And she did that because after my wife died and I was left with a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old raised by myself, and my mama was still alive at that point, and I would go to her and I would want to live in the what ifs. What if I did this? What if I'd done that, mama? And what if I did this, mama? And what if I'd done that, mama? Maybe, you know, Brenda wouldn't have done that and this wouldn't have happened, and, you know. And my mama made it clear to me, son, you're not in charge. Did you do anything with a malice heart? Well, no, ma'am, I didn't. I kind of worshiped the ground that woman walked on. I didn't always show it, but I did. He said, there's a God and you're not it. And his plan is not for you to find comfortable in this world. His plan is for you to find comfort in his kingdom. Because the comfort in this world will not sustain you for all eternity. And we don't understand that sometimes. We get bogged down in the thoughts that Satan puts in our mind. That if only I had what I wanted, I'd be okay. I'm a pastor that said up here, many times I got what I wanted and I wasn't okay. Many times I got what I wanted and realized what I wanted I couldn't handle. And then I was like, God, take it back. I'm sorry, take it back. I don't want it no more. You know, I thought I wanted it, but I didn't realize what all the want it come with the want it, right? All the maintenance that comes with the want, you know. All I seen was the ice cream. I didn't see all the other stuff. You know, needing the refrigerator to keep the ice cream frozen and all that other good stuff. I just wanted it, right? You know, God wants us to seek him in all things. You know, I was talking to a Texan with a lady and stuff, and my heart breaks because I want to improve our Sunday school program here because I think our children are the most precious things we got, you know. You know, I think that if we get them when they're young and teach them a love of Christ when they're young, we no longer have the day and time our society's got to the point where we've turned the teaching of God or humanity over to people that are unqualified to teach the love of God. And we're allowing them to take God's children and mold them into thoughts that's just ungodly. And then once they get up on the edge of life and getting ready to jump off because they're so spiritually bankrupt that they don't know what else to do. Now as Christians, we want to step in and try to save them in that last moment. And we don't understand why we don't get them all. Jesus Christ is not a last minute Messiah. He's not. Jesus said, teach my children who I am from the beginning. Where they'll do what? Back to the beginning of these scriptures. What will they do? They'll stick to his teachings. They will be his disciples. All their life they will be free of their sins. And they'll know the truth. His creator, his father, God Almighty. As Christians, we have to step up to the plate and stop getting into the defenseless mode that we're going to fix our children after they're spiritually broken. We need to step up to the plate and say, you know what? We're going to work to them never being broken. We're going to work to that. We're going to let them know how much Christ loves them and what he means to them and what they mean to him from the beginning. Because if we don't let it get broke, guess what? We ain't got to fix it. That ain't rocket science. But when we're letting other people mold them and misrepresent who God is, and that's what God wants out of each and every relationship. So he doesn't want a secondhand information relationship with you. That's what Jesus is trying to tell them. Your relationship is so removed from so many people back that you don't even know God. You're just talking about what you think you know by somebody else based on a secondhand and third-hand relationship other people had with God. My father wants to have a personal relationship with you, with no middleman but me. And I am the Father, and the Father is me. So you get an opportunity right now on earth before I go back to the Father. That group of people did. To have a relationship with God and walk with me right now. Could you imagine being a human being on earth and having an opportunity to have a physical relationship with God Almighty and rejecting it? But they did. And not only when this physical relationship is done, once the evil one hosses me up on that cross for the whole world to see. If you believe in me now, you will have a relationship forever with me. So that's my message this day as the pastor. I encourage you to not have a relationship with God through my understanding of God. Or through someone else's understanding. Or some other pastor's understanding of God. I encourage you to take the time out. And go home. And what I preach today, study it. And see if you can understand it. And see if you can find something there that I didn't preach. Take time out to have that relationship. One-on-one. With Jesus Christ the Savior. You know, take 20 scriptures today to get through the day, if that's what you need to do. See, that's a relationship, because this is the living word. The word of God comes out of this book and goes into your soul and speaks on the behalf of the Lord and our Savior, if you're willing to listen with your heart and the soul of God in you and not your intellect mind. So where is our relationship going to be today as individuals? We have to ask that question and answer that question on our own. I'm going to stand around and tell you what I think Wayne's second cousin thought about Christ. And my relationship's going to be rooted in that, because everybody seemed to think Wayne's second cousin was a great man of God and had all the insight on God. Or I'm going to say, I love you, Wayne. But I'm going to claim that personal relationship with Jesus Christ that I've been guaranteed. You know, And we would not do that in any other relationship. We wouldn't do that between us and our children. We wouldn't have three people removed from our in between us and our relationship. I wouldn't have a half a dozen people in a relationship between me and my wife. We wouldn't do that in any other relationship. But we'll decide to do that with God. We'll allow someone else to be the authority on mine and God's relationship instead of allowing my personal experience with God and giving him an opportunity to work in my life to be the authority of my relationship with God. Because he's there if we want it. And he will show up if you call upon him. But he's not going to force it down you. You know, he's not going to force you. I was talking to an individual the other day about a situation, and I was saying, well, I just can't beg people to come to church. Jesus didn't beg anyone to come to church. If I've done something wrong, I will make amends. But if I have no guilt, then they're not wanting to operate in reality. They're just looking for excuses of not showing up to the relationship that God has promised them. And that ain't on me. I'm sorry, it's just not on me. If I ever do anything wrong and it's pointed out to me, I've done it. I did not do it in malice. I might have done it out of ignorance. And I will make amends. I will make amends. You know? But if you want me to get caught up in your feelings and all your other stuff, that your emotional turmoil that you're trying to get yourself in, and you want me to go in that world with you and try to, I can't do that. I can't even do that for me, you know, because I can't fix stuff that's not broken, because I don't want to deal with life on life's terms, you know. I don't want to deal with the reality of life. So I beg you today, I plead for you on the behalf of my Lord and Savior, quit looking for the reasons why, if you are, that God is not who he said he is and why he may not abstain you. And get in his holy word and look for the reasons why he is exactly who he said he is, and he will abstain you just like he said he was, no matter what you're walking through. So thank you for letting me share the message today. God bless you all, and thank you for allowing me to be the service of this church. final prayer, and y'all help me out if I don't have someone on this list that should be. Good thing about Christianity, there's a we program, not a I program, and I can't make it without you guys, and I know that. I have on the list that we're going to pray for today, we're going to be praying for Nita's friend that had the stroke. I don't really know a lot of the details there, but I believe they don't expect the lady to make it. And of course, Zach, him finding his walk back with God and getting back to where he was before the devil got in there through people that were close to him and deceived him. And that's usually who Satan uses to deceive us, is people close to us. And of course, Miss D, dear to my heart. D is a special person to me in this church, and you guys don't know it because she's the only person in this church that I can mention Boomwell, Mississippi, and she knows where I'm talking about. She knows that Boomwell, Mississippi is only a stone throw from Tupelo, Mississippi, where Elvis was born. So, you know, it's good to have someone that knows the neck of the woods that your kinfolks came from. And, of course, Beth Ann, we're going to be praying for her and that situation that's going on with her and Mike, whatever that is. We just pray that God heals that walk that they're in and give them his direction to what's going on there. And Jackie is still feeling a little under the weather and couldn't make it today, and we want to pray for her. And then Sherry, she's not wearing that thing anymore that she had on her arm. And so I'm thinking she's well, but we're still going to pray for her because she came in here a couple times. She looked like something out of the Terminator or something. She did. She had all that thing on her, you know. I was like, well, she's going to start throwing people around with that thing. And then, of course, Jimbo. It's good to see him here and see him not in the pain that he was in when he was at his sister-in-law's wedding, that they're going there. So that's good. And Bulldog and his family, that family's lost them 4 children in the fire. Please keep that. That's got to be a hard road to hold. And our pastor, Lori, district pastor, with his heart problems, keep him in our prayers as we pray today. And all the evils going on overseas with the people that are being, you know, now going to be beheaded and just all that evil that's going on. And Tom wasn't able to make it this morning because of he had a medical procedure that I don't want to mention, but it put him under the weather a little bit. Dehydrated him probably. So with that, let us pray. Dear Lord, we just ask you to bless these people and bless the one's heart that we don't know that needs you, but they're reaching out and crying out for you and in quietness, but seeking you. Please come to them, bring your peace, bring Christ's grace to them. Let them know to take you by your hand, and there's no fire, there's no, you know, valley of death that we can't walk through if we walk with you, Lord. And we just pray for your grace and our ability to serve you unconditionally in all things. Would anyone else like to pray?
Father, we are thankful that you are with us, Lord. You never leave us or forsake us. We really need you. There's a lot of people hurt you, Lord. Some couldn't make it today. Pray to be their comfort. May they look right to you, Lord, talk to you. May they get to know you really close and personal. You're a faithful Father. You're always there. And you always have excellent advice for us, excellent counsel and comfort. You have healing. You want your children to have good health, Lord. We just ask that you change a lot of these things, Lord. Thank you that by Christ's stripes we are healed. It's worked in the past, it works now, because you paid the price that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You see those that are making decisions, Lord. Looks like there's darkness over their life, but you're there. The light is there. And light always chases away darkness. So we're thankful for restoration. We're thankful for your presence, Lord. For you're doing great things. You care. You always care. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Lord, I pray for our country. I pray that you will keep safe and strengthen our President Trump, and I pray that you will lift up and encourage those who love and follow you, Lord. I pray that you will vanquish the evil ones. And I pray for your actual intervention. We know that you intervene from actions that you did in the Bible. And I pray for your actual intervention here. We can't do this alone. Strengthen us, encourage us, make us work and act, but we need your direct intervention here, Lord, and I pray for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
And all God's people said, amen. Amen.